Okay, there we are. There's the mic. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please go there. Find the contact page. Leave me a message there. Send me an email. I would like to hear from you. We left off at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16, where it says, "Be not righteous over much." And I've been talking about righteousness and what it, perhaps what the author or what the Spirit is trying to convey to us here. And perhaps he's referring to self-righteousness. I mean, you know, I could be self-righteous. I could say, well, you know, I keep the dietary law and you don't. I'm better than you and you should do what I'm doing. You should be like me. There's a snare for me there, you know, because then I'm thinking a little bit higher of myself than I should and a little bit less of my brethren. I mean, it's difficult enough, you know, to teach the law and to walk in that law with people perhaps thinking that you're a little higher and mightier than you really are but who am I, you know? Nobody, you know? Why do I do it? Perhaps because I've been here a little longer, I know the word a little better, I've had a better opportunity, to whom much is given, much is required, so much more is required to me. And I don't want to alienate people, I want to bring them into his kingdom. So I teach them the truth, and I do the truth, but I want to be warm and friendly. I don't want to be hard, cruel, and judgmental. I want to bring people into the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit has a job to do. Let him convict of sin. You know, perhaps they're struggling with drugs or cigarettes or immorality or, you know, some trials and tribulations that I can't see that they don't even need to be concerned about the dietary laws or keeping the right Sabbath day or all of these minor issues. You know, I just hate to say there's anything minor about the law of the Almighty, but the Messiah said it himself. You know, he instructed, he said, whoever does and teaches the least commandments. So he differentiated there, if the translators got it right, between least commandments and greatest commandments. And definitely, I mean, it's indisputable that there are lesser and greater commandments, because when he was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? He answered the question, but he also talked about least commandments. And of course, by degree of punishment, we know that there are lesser and greater commandments. For instance, adultery and sodomy required the death penalty, and so did murder. Theft and fornication and things like that, well, they require lesser punishment, if any punishment at all was meted out. So there you have it. So I don't want to play self-righteous. I will teach the truth. I'll let the Holy Spirit convict. I'm not going to raise myself up. I want to come across as warm and friendly, and I want to bring people into his kingdom, not drive them away. I have to be able to understand where people are at, and I can understand that because I have to put myself in their shoes. You know, it's like you get on the path, and if I got people coming, they're getting on the path where I got on the path 40 years ago. I can't expect them to jump on the path and be where I am. And there's a lot, you know, you aren't righteous by keeping the Sabbath correctly, whether you believe it's Saturday or lunar or otherwise. You aren't righteous by eating, you know, following the dietary laws perfectly. That isn't what makes you righteous. Perhaps you do those things because he has imputed his righteousness into you, because it's his righteousness, not my own. And I believe that's the difference here. I believe that's pretty much what our author is talking about, is self-righteous. You know, I say the name right. I use more Hebrew words than you. I keep the right Sabbath. I eat the right diet, you know. And it's self-righteousness, and I find self-righteousness repugnant, and so does the world, and they recognize it immediately. So we have to be careful here, you know, especially us that are deep into His Word. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Solomon, the very one who's writing this, well, he knows what he's talking about. He became overwise, and he ended up, you know, putting a pinch of incense in the altar of Baal, of false gods. He ended up falling terribly. But by the grace of the Almighty, you know, who understands the weakness of men, he raised him back up so that he wrote this book, Ecclesiastes, near the end of his life. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? So self-righteousness or overbearing righteousness on other people is self-destructive. That's what he's saying. Self-righteousness is self-destructive. Be not overmuch wicked neither. Yes, be not over wicked neither. And, you know, I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but you know, sometimes we just need to relax. It's okay. We're not supposed to be perfect, pompous pictures of perfection for the world. We can relax a little. We can be real men. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. When you hit your thumb with a hammer, perhaps it's time for an expletive to come out of your mouth and not to worry about it. It's okay. It lets everyone around you know that you're a man and that they can relate to you as a man. When you get around people that are hurting because a hurt that they brought upon themselves, you can minister to them as a real flesh and blood man. Feeling their pain, giving them understanding, and teaching them gently the Word, and showing them gently the error of their way in the hope of helping them to see whatever it is, you know, that brought that pain in their life, perhaps that they'll, you know, avoid it next time. So relax. Be not much over wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Yes, even the most righteous of us have had practiced wickedness in our life. We need to put it off. So be not over much wicked. Sometimes we need to be hard in righteousness at the same time. Our Heavenly Father is hard. He's hard on us, especially if we belong to Him. He can be very hard on us, but He takes no joy in it. And I believe perhaps that's maybe what the author or what the Spirit is trying to convey here when he says, be not much over wicked. Don't be too hard, you know, because it can be perceived as wickedness. And plus there's a temptation for men to enjoy cruelty and even become addicted to being cruel and enjoying the power that cruelty brings over them. And I believe that's a sickness that my oppressors have, is they enjoy the cruelty. They don't really understand what they're doing or what the snare and the trap that they're in is. It's because they're trapped and they're snared in it. And they don't understand it themselves and they can't stop. So be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Chapter 7, verse 18. It is good that thou should takest hold of this. Yea, also, from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. So we have all this instruction, but above that all, to understand these things and to apply them in the appropriate time, here's the core matter. This is the core issue. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all. And that's the position. I want to come forth of them all. All these things, all the circumstances of life, everything. Fear God. Fear the Almighty, keep His commandments, and live. He shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So there is power in wisdom to have strength in yourself more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So wisdom is stronger than an army of 10 men or a band of 10 or a whatever. You got a troop. So the wicked man might have 10 armed men to guard his castle, but I have wisdom to guard mine. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And amen, that is the truth. There is none. As Scripture says, it's repeated in the New Testament. No, there is not one righteous. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Any righteousness that I have is imputed to me through Messiah. Because His blood covers me, I have the privilege to have His righteousness imputed to me. And it's only because His blood covers me that I can step forward and learn obedience. Any obedience that I may stumble on without that is a happy accident, and it's not imputed to me because it's only imputed through His blood. So there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We all have sinned. And as long as I live, I know that, you know, I may sin in some small way here and there. I pray, Heavenly Father, keep me from falling. Keep me from any great sin in my life. I mean, I don't want to sin at all, but I won't have that prayer. That prayer will not be answered until the resurrection. Now, in the resurrection, I will never even be tempted to sin again, and neither will I ever sin again. And I look forward to that day. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Sometimes we just have to let things go. You know, understanding myself, even about my best friends, my daughter, you know, my son, people I love, things can slip, and I might say a word that perhaps pertains to their fallen nature, but the fact is I have that same nature, and the same remark could be said about me, and I might hear it. So take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. So we're not to take heed to all words. We're to relax a little, let things slide, because though I say things or think things, you don't let things pass my lips. I think a lot of things that I won't let pass my lips, and certainly that I would not act upon. You know, but let me demonstrate love, regardless of what my mind thinks once in a while, what thoughts I have to put down. And sometimes things can slip out. I didn't mean to say that. And we understand that because we have the same fallible mind. So things can slip. So take no heed unto all words that are spoken. But, you know, judge by the behavior and how a person treats you. You know, if that matches up with a word that slips out once in a while, then you pay heed to that. You know, we're not to be blind, and we hear things, and we can't put them out of our minds, but we're not to give heed to everything that we hear, regardless of where it comes from or what it is. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. Just to confirm what I was saying, I guess maybe I've read this before. Yes, certainly I have. Chapter 7 and verse 23. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. Yeah, I remember cracking the book, open up Proverbs and going, wow, I want to be wise, but it was far from me. I can say that. And it's not so far from me today, but, you know, we're talking you know, 40 years ago. I've gained a little bit in that 40 years. So, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And yes, we have that there demonstrated in the very life of Solomon. He says he did it and he wrote about it. And let's hope we could just take his word for it and not to seek out the foolishness and the folly and to know wickedness. Often say that Adam and Eve, you know, when they, if you watch my Greatest Prophecy DVD chapter there on the Greatest Prophecy, of course, that concerns Adam and Eve. And I relay there the idea that, you know, they didn't know. They didn't know better when they took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil. They didn't know what evil was. So their decision, though it was conscious, it was a conscious decision, perhaps. They didn't really understand what the decision was because they didn't know wrong. They didn't know evil. And I could never say, I mean, I've heard some people say in pride that they would never have done that. But I think that, you know, I can't even compare myself to Adam. Adam was a perfect man, created perfectly. And, you know, he used the full capacity of his brain. He didn't have the limitations that we have today. You know, the scientists have delved deep into the anatomy of the brain, and they go, wow, you know, this brain that we have is fantastic. And, you know, the most genius among us, the smartest among us, and genius doesn't always mean wisdom, but the most intelligent among us does not even use 10% of the capacity of the brain. Now, take that into consideration, and I think that Adam had full 100% use of the capacity of that brain power. And I can't compare myself to Adam. I would have fallen faster than he did, if that was possible. I'm not sure that was possible. Perhaps just as fast. So I could never say in pride that I would not have done it. Yes, if I had hindsight, but then I still, even with hindsight, you'd have to know evil. And there's only one way to know evil, and that is to own it. So we've all known evil. I've known evil, you've known evil, and Adam and Eve, they came to know evil. And they changed their mind about evil. At least those two did. I know that Adam and Eve did. I see the evidence there in the text of Genesis, that they changed their mind about evil and decided that they repented of that evil that they did. Of course, there was no taking back the "you shall surely die" curse that was placed on every single one of us. I shall surely die, you shall surely die, and they received that death sentence in that day, and they surely did die. And however, there was a plan for the redemption through the Redeemer, and that is the Greatest Prophecy. You can visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and watch the Greatest Prophecy chapter there. And then after that, watch chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Just watch them all and read all the articles there. Take advantage of this, what little wisdom, knowledge, and understanding the Heavenly Father has given to me. I gladly share it with all. And I will gladly learn from you, too. There's room for comments on every page there. So do take advantage of it. Go to crosstheborder.org. I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. Yes, and he owned it, and we have the record there. And I've had my moments in my time of wickedness and folly and a little madness thrown in there, you know. But now for the rest of my life, I seek to leave the wickedness and the folly, the foolishness and the madness behind. You know, I do like to play and have a little bit of fun, but, you know, I know where the line is for me. no more falling down hard and for my life. I'm too old for that stuff, and I have too much stored up. I have too much invested, I should say, into the kingdom of heaven to allow foolishness, madness, folly, or wickedness to pull me back and suffer that bitter loss. Chapter 7, verse 26, "And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her." Oh, man, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. Some of you have been blessed with the wife and the sweetheart of your youth, and you've taken up that wife, and you're living with her today, and just say hallelujah, and, you know, give thanks to the Almighty and all the honor and glory and blessing to Him for that, if you have that in your life. And that's been your blessing to have that. But in the day that I live, many men have never seen that, or many men have experienced that for a short time. I had it. My last wife was like that. And the Heavenly Father, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and He took away my wife. That's right. And he's not cruel, and I have no ill feelings about that. Yes, there's a disappointment there, and sometimes I still ask why. But I understand why. Even though I ask, I understand why. Because it's because of sin. That's right. Not necessarily my sin, just because of sin. Sin is the reason for all of the ills of mankind. Sin is the reason for all of the suffering and the death and everything that we hate. So if you hate the result of sin, which I hate, which is death and destruction and pain and suffering, you know, then you're in agreement with the Almighty that sin is not a good thing. And we should depart from evil. So come into agreement with the Almighty. Learn obedience. Stop playing your part in the sin and bringing it into the world, but learn obedience to walk in His statutes and judgments, and He'll set you free from the power of sin and death. What a glorious and wonderful treasure and gift that He has given us to be set free. Back to it here, chapter 7, verse 26, "And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands, who pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her." So I've experienced the unrighteous and disobedient woman much more bitter than the woman who died in righteousness. Well, we're going into our break here. Gonna listen to the news and come back. So I'll see you in about 10 minutes or so, or the next segment if you're listening to the podcast.